This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
The seventh chapter and verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Yes. Wow. So what is he? Now we're going to talk about Melchizedek.
Yes.
He's mentioned him a time or two before.
Right.
Now we're actually going to discuss this fellow Melchizedek.
And people get caught in verse 3. They say he's without mother, without father, without genealogy. He's got to be God.
Yes.
I'm afraid this is a case where the Hebrew background, a little learning, is not a bad idea. Because Philo, a famous Jewish writer of the same century as we're reading here, said that Sarah had no mother and father. This is a way of saying we don't have the genealogical records.
Yes.
But unless that's explained, I mean, who's going to know that?
Sure.
So that's where commentary is most important. And after all, Jesus did have a mother. So it isn't Jesus,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course. That's so, right.
Didn't have a mother and father, meaning, and we're going to see that later, he does trace his ancestry to someone, as all human beings do. We don't know who that is.
We don't know who it is. And the importance of the genealogy is exceptional when we're talking about those who are priests.
Of course.
Because their office as priest is predicated upon their being born in the proper family lineage and so on. That's so interesting.
You can see how one can get caught in one's ignorance and say, this has got to be Jesus because he had no mother. Well, wait a minute, he did have a mother. Jesus, the Son of God, had a mother. And this is a priest and obviously has a genealogy. We're going to see that actually later. But we don't know where it's from. And this is key because he's not an Aaronite. He's not a Levite.
Right.
And well, who is he?
That's his whole point. So we have this fellow who shows up, as it were, in the narrative, in the storyline, in Genesis, the 14th chapter, and probably beginning about verse 18. It's so interesting because it's like he sort of, we don't know about his genealogy, we don't know where he was from, and yet he is called a priest.
Yes.
Of God.
Of the high school.
And King of Salem, city of Salem, perhaps related to Jerusalem, I don't know. But but anyway, he was a priest of the Most High God who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings. And this, he blessed Abraham then. That's a wonderful
fascinating
thing.
Fascinating. Yeah. It strikes me as you read that, that's interesting. He's a king as well as a priest. That's very nice. That'll fit for Jesus and the church, right?
Yes.
We're kings and priests in training.
Excellent.
Jesus is a king priest.
Yes.
I hadn't taken that in fully. Not just a priest, but he's a royal figure.
Yes, that's
right. Very important.
That's right. How good then? Mm. Well, so he was all of these things. He met Abraham. He blesses Abraham. Mm. And Abraham did something interesting. Abraham paid him a tenth, as it were, of the spoils from war he had been in.
Indeed.
And which was a sign of honor that Abraham is giving to this fellow Melchizedek, showing that he respected Melchizedek as a priest and honored him as such.
Yes.
So this guy wasn't a pretender or something. He was a real priest of God, but not according to the Aaronic priesthood, which wasn't even going to show up for hundreds of years later.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting?
And we just emphasize the fact that his being without genealogy simply suggests that, more than suggests, it tells us that we don't have a record of it. But not that he didn't have a genealogy, which would make him God. Lift him out of the human
And you've had folks who have leapt, that, leapt to that conclusion.
Yes.
Melchizedek then must have been God, which is really
it's
just
quite
terribly
if you know a little bit about the Jewish ways of speaking, and it is important to recognize
then you wouldn't jump to that conclusion.
You wouldn't jump
at all.
To that conclusion. Yeah.
And by the way, if Melchizedek had been God, then I would think this writer would have said, hey, you know Melchizedek?
Yes.
He was God. He doesn't say that here, for goodness sake. He's looking at the life of this otherwise rather unknown character,
yes,
and finding some parallels that he's going to draw from,
yes,
by way of analogy,
yes,
with the situation with Jesus. And right, there's going to be some parallels, right, not exact parallels,
not exact,
as such, no, but some parallels that are important nonetheless, mm-hmm, I think.
Okay. That's right. That, verse 6 is perhaps mentioning in advance of where you are, mm-hmm, that his genealogy is not traced from them. Melchizedek's, mm-hmm, genealogy is not traced from Levi.
Right.
But it's traced from somewhere.
It's traced from somewhere, but we don't know where. We don't have a record of his father, right, and his mom, and we don't know who they were exactly. Right. So, but very important.
Very important.
Verse 4. Now observe how great this man was to, mm, whom Abraham, the patriarch, mm, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. Mm-hmm. And he says in verse 5, and those indeed of the sons of Levi, mm-hmm, who receive the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, mm-hmm, that is from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. Mm-hmm. So later on, we have something said about,
yeah,
a tithe to be paid, yeah, to those who were descended from Levi,
yes,
for their role in the, yes, things, sir, that they did, from the brethren. So the brethren paid this out of respect and honor to Levi, I,
yes,
suppose. Verse 6, but the one whose genealogy, mm-hmm, is not traced from them, mm-hmm, collected a tenth from Abraham, mm-hmm, and blessed the one who had the promises. Mm-hmm. So this fellow, Melchizedek, was a priest, yes, of God,
yes,
respected and honored as a priest of God, even by Abraham.
Yes.
And yet, his genealogy doesn't come according to Moses, yeah, the law,
yeah,
Levi, the, yeah, Aaronic priesthood.
No.
It's not part and parcel, right, of that. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting. So Abraham and Melchizedek are somehow senior and more important,
yes,
than Levi. Now, this is shocking, right? Yes. Because Levi was rather important.
Of course.
And now we're moving to another idea. There's, oh, a higher priest.
Another whole level
than
in this
the
matter.
Whole Levitical thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them,
mm,
not from Aaron, not,
mm,
from Levi,
mm-hmm, collected a tenth.
Yeah. Collected a tenth from Abraham. So isn't this interesting? And served in the function of priest with,
yes,
Abraham.
Yes.
Verse 7. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed,
yes,
by the greater.
That's Abraham is blessed
by
the greater.
By the greater, who was Melchizedek. At least in this circumstance, mm-hmm, in this situation, mm-hmm, at that time,
mm-hmm,
Melchizedek had a greater station,
mm-hmm,
than Abraham, mm-hmm, had, according to this writer. And I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on to say in verse 8, in this case, mortal men receive tithes. Mm-hmm. Now he's talking about those who are descended from Levi,
yes,
and Aaron,
exactly,
again.
Mm.
Mortal men,
mm-hmm,
receive tithes, mm-hmm, but in that case, one receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on.
Melchizedek.
Well, yeah.
He lives on. Why? Because there's no record of his death.
We don't have a record. So, no. Yeah. So he's fitting the type.
Yes,
he's fitting this typology.
Right.
He's speaking typologically.
Right. Yes,
of
exactly
course.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that, by the way, that typology, I think, would be easily understood by his readers.
Yes.
People who are familiar with these,
that's
things,
right,
of course.
Right.
Okay. Verse 9,
mm-hmm,
and so to speak, mm-hmm, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to realize, this is very metaphorical,
yes,
it's very,
yes,
colorful,
yes,
but he's taking the circumstances with this man, and
that's
he was,
right,
a man,
that's right,
Melchizedek,
that's right,
and he's sort of designing a nice story for,
yes,
us that helps us to understand,
yes,
Jesus as high priest.
That's right.
Yeah,
and Levi,
right,
of course, was a descendant of Abraham,
yeah,
which makes him less than Abraham.
Yeah.
He's less significant.
Less
Abraham is more significant.
And
Melchizedek,
it's
is
interesting that Levi,
mm-hmm,
in Abraham,
mm-hmm,
in a figure,
yes, in figures,
and all of this is figurative,
right,
but in a figure, he is paying tithes to,
yes,
Melchizedek.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
It's very clever. It's,
yeah,
rather subtle, though.
Isn't, yeah, it is.
All subtle of this is in the good commentaries,
yeah,
by the way.
Oh,
we're not inventing anything new,
course,
here, but it,
yeah,
it takes some pondering and thinking about.
I think it's so interesting, too. Sometimes people get into this passage,
mm-hmm,
and then think, well, this is a passage teaching us about tithes.
Yes.
Not really. You're missing the point. The tithe in these cases, was the tithing that was going on, is not his real lesson.
No,
his,
no,
lesson about is about who is a priest,
yes,
and who is the greater in the priestly,
yes,
roles.
Yes.
And the fact that the those who were of the Aaronic priesthood mm-hmm. of Aaron mm-hmm. were figuratively paying yes. tithes yes. in the person of Abraham to yes. Melchizedek showed that Melchizedek was even a greater priest yes. than they were, yes. greater than Aaron yes. himself. Take That's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. Yeah.
Yes. It's a beautiful picture he's painting. Yes. It's a lovely, lovely thing.
The verse 10, I think, explains that exactly as you said there. He was still in the loins.
Yes, verse 10, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So it's a beautiful figurative yes. language. Right. We shouldn't get too lost in the figurativeness,
no.
but realize the lesson he's teaching us is all about how it is that Jesus can yes. be a high priest
yes.
when he is not of descendancy from yes. Aaron. He's not from descendancy of Levi.
Yes.
He was from a different tribe than Levi. And that's what it's going to tell us.
So the he then, verse 10, he, Levi, was still in the loins of his father,
mm-hmm. yeah.
being the descendant of Abraham. That's fascinating.
Right.
The key there is helpful that he's mentioned as a king there. Mm. I hadn't thought of that before.
That's very good,
today.
Isn't it?
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I like that.
Moving to kingship now,
mm-hmm.
as well as priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
That suggests Jesus
mm-hmm.
very strongly.
Yeah. So we have under the Mosaic mm-hmm. system, kingship and the role of the priesthood
yes.
were really divided right. issues, very separate.
Right.
The king was not the priest, the priest
That's
was
right.
not the king. But this fellow,
yes.
Melchizedek,
yes.
interestingly, was
yes.
king over a city,
yes.
a place called Salem,
yes.
and also served
right.
as a priest of God.
Right.
He had both those roles.
Yes.
Now we're beginning to see Jesus.
That's right.
This prefigures
yes.
for
yes.
us Jesus, who will That's be right. king and priest.
There's also a Jewish tradition that David had priestly functions.
Yes, yes.
So he's a type, too.
Yeah,
he's
surely in that
not
sense.
A Levite.
That's right.
But he's doing priestly things.
Right.
That's fascinating.
Excellent.
Exactly
yeah.
the type of Jesus who
right.
does priestly and
Indeed.
Royal things.
Indeed. Verse 11. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical
mm-hmm.
priesthood,
mm-hmm.
for on the basis of it the people received the law, so the whole law was hanging on the basis, I
yes.
think, would you say, of the Levitical priesthood. Take it out, there
That's
is no
right.
law. Okay.
And Moses himself is a Levite, is he not?
Yes, indeed he is.
So
That's
that
right.
whole law thing now mm-hmm. is being replaced in some subtle way with something greater
yeah.
than Moses,
yeah.
greater than
yeah.
Levi.
Yeah. And in fact, if what our writer is wanting us to get out of this
mm-hmm.
from the word go is
yes.
that Jesus has come,
yes.
he is both king and priest
yes.
of God.
Yes.
And the whole program now is a program in of perfection,
yes.
which was not achieved, could not be achieved
That's,
under the Mosaic system.
It's very radical because Moses was the ultimate, you know,
yes.
in Jewish thinking. But
so
now we're being told
there's something
better,
something greater
than Moses
yes,
and
yes.
Levi. My
yes.
goodness, that's pretty exciting.
Wow. Continuing on in 11, mm-hmm. He says, "What further need was there
mm-hmm.
for another priest to arise,
mm-hmm.
if perfection was through the
yes.
the Levitical system?"
Right.
Which then what need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek
mm-hmm.
and not be designated according to the order of Aaron?
Wow.
Wow.
I see.
Why would you ever change it if,
right.
if that was
That's
the ultimate?
Enough.
If it was what we really, really needed
right.
For perfection,
yes.
then why would you ever change it?
Yes.
But again, it seems to me that this writer is saying the whole law is hanging,
mm-hmm.
is functionally engaged
yes.
with this Levitical priesthood.
No doubt.
Yeah. So everything's at
no
stake
doubt.
In this one issue.
Yes.
Yeah. But yet it wasn't bringing perfection, so there's going to be something different.
Yeah,
I like that.
Right. And this priest, this another priest, arises.
Mm.
That's nothing to do with coming from heaven from a pre-existing
yeah.
life. He shows up on the scene mm. of history. That's what arises means.
Yes.
And that's the descendant of Judah,
yeah, indeed.
The Messiah.
And he is indeed from among the brethren. That,
Excellent
that,
point.
Right.
The prophet must be from
yeah.
among
right.
the brothers of Israel, like
that's
Moses,
that's right.
but superior to Moses.
And as we've seen in the fifth chapter, yeah. this writer, priests are chosen from among
yes.
the brethren as well. And that's
exactly.
That's so,
how disruptive, then, is the idea of the incarnation with a capital
Oh, my
I.
goodness. Oh, my.
It shifts the story into the sort of fog of antiquity and the past, and you lose
yeah.
the whole reality of history.
Yeah. Yeah.
That there's a real man being born in Israel, that prophet, mm-hmm. who replaces Moses, in fact.
Right. Mm-hmm. So verse 12, then, mm-hmm. for when the priesthood is changed,
right.
now he's not talking about adding a new priesthood. Mm. He said a priesthood being changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For when the priesthood is changed, yes, of necessity, mm-hmm, there also takes place a change of law also.
That's staggering.
Oh, my goodness.
Torah.
This,
the word is Torah.
Oh, see, my land, yes.
You can't change, for a Jew, the change of Torah is anathema.
Yes, impossible.
Impossible. A change of Torah, that's radical stuff.
But yet that is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is telling us,
yes,
had to happen. It had to happen. It had to happen.
Exactly.
Okay. So Jesus is saying, not one jot nor tittle, yeah, will pass from the law till all is fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think if we're going to believe this writer,
yes, yes,
the fulfillment has come upon us in the person, yes, of Jesus,
exactly,
Christ.
And a change is involved.
And a change, when you're going to change the priesthood,
yes,
and that's what he's saying, yes, happened, it's not that we added another priesthood,
no, no,
we changed the priesthood,
yes,
effectively,
yes,
with God. Now you could go on doing whatever you wanted to,
yes,
as priests and all that in this world,
yes,
and I suppose some did back there.
Yes.
That doesn't cut it with God anymore.
Yes.
God is... now has changed,
right,
the priesthood, and the change requires a change in the law.
In Torah, and, absolutely. That is fundamentally important, because we get the text in Matthew 5:17. The key there is he came to fulfill it. Otherwise, we've got sheer contradiction.
Yes.
This man is talking about a change of Torah. Jesus says, not a jot or tittle.
Yeah.
But Paul then intervenes to tell us it's in the spirit, the,
yes,
law now. That's the fundamental difference that we,
yes,
must get over to,
yeah,
people. The letter of the law is gone,
mm, yes,
in important areas, but it's still there in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We already in this book learned about the Sabbatism. We've,
yes,
we've moved from a weekly seventh-day rest, which is under Moses, to a Sabbatism, which is a rest from our own works and a rest that's anticipated for the future. So the key is the spiritualization of the law. This will harmonize Jesus with Paul and with this writer.
And then the... the objective, the point of all that the law was pointing to,
yes,
all that the law was trying to tell us,
yes,
we find it now,
right,
in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not by way of trying to maintain the law itself.
That's right.
But we find all that the law was about, all it was trying to tell us, we,
yes,
find it all
in Christ,
in Jesus,
yes,
and perfected,
yes,
in him. Everything that we needed.
I think it's so important, Dan, because people will latch onto this idea, you can't change the law. Jesus said it. Not a jot or tittle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's think about that a moment. Then every Gentile must be circumcised physically.
Yes. So there is not only the change in a priesthood,
yeah,
it wasn't just an incidental issue.
Not so.
When you change that priesthood,
right,
you got to change the law.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting?
And well, I think the stark way to put that point to people is this, that Jesus clearly said, we're not changing any laws,
mm,
but we are fulfilling them. So, yeah, what does this mean? Well, the classic case is the issue of circumcision for,
yes,
males.
Yes, yes.
It is patently obvious that in Genesis 17, you had to be circumcised physically,
mm-hmm,
as a male,
mm-hmm,
to become part of the covenant, Jew and Gentile. So is Paul a great false prophet? Yes, some of these people are saying Paul was a great liar.
Oh, my lands, yes.
But if you believe Paul to be a true prophet and an apostle,
yeah,
then clearly the law has been changed. It's,
yes,
been spiritualized. Circumcision,
yes,
is not physically,
right,
the important thing, but it's out,
sure,
of the heart.
Sure.
That's a great key to how we relate the Old Testament Torah to the New Testament Torah.
Wonderful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, for the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests.
Fascinating. Yeah,
wow.
Significant.
He's just someone, this is his point he's been getting to, isn't,
yes,
it?
Yes.
From the word go,
yes,
he starts out talking about for this Melchizedek.
Yes.
What does that got to do with anything?
Yes.
Actually, it has a lot to do with everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
His point, the writer's point, is summed up in verse 14 to this,
yeah,
to this point.
Yeah.
And he's saying, Jesus Christ is a priest, folks.
Yes.
I can picture people objecting and saying,
no,
he's not
right,
a priest. He's not our priest. You're,
right,
you're kidding, because the priests,
right,
all have to be from the lineage,
yes,
yes, of Levi,
yes,
and Aaron specifically,
yes. Yes.
And Jesus is not from Levi,
right,
so he's not a priest.
Right.
Well, it's like the writer of Hebrews is sort of trumping all of that, isn't he?
Yes.
He's coming back and he's saying, oh, well, let me tell you something. God can have a priest,
yes,
outside of Levi,
yes,
if he wants to do it.
Of course.
And he did do it on one occasion. Yes. Let me show you an example. There was this fellow back there, Melchizedek was his name, and he was back there, and he incidentally met Abraham, he was called both a king, king of Salem, and this fellow was a priest of God, recognized as a priest of God. Abraham recognized him as a priest of God. Yeah. That's awfully good credentials, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
So now what is going on is God has chosen this man to be priest, and we don't have any mom and dad lineage about the guy.
No.
You know, we have nothing about him. Yes, we don't know anything about him.
Yes.
Other than that he was a man,
and
he lived back at that time, and God chose him to be king and priest. So that shows us then, it shows the Jewish folks, it shows everyone out of the Bible itself, God, because he's God, he can do this, he can choose a man to be king and priest, high priest, he can do it if he wants. Doesn't have to be bound by the matter there about Levi. The Levi thing didn't work out so well anyway because they kept dying. He's going to tell us. And so now we have Jesus being chosen as high priest by God. And this is the perfection that was not. But being as we've made a change in the priesthood now, we also have a necessary change in the law.
Torah.
And so it's
very
all
radical.
All of it has shifted now.
That's right.
Jesus is now what it's all about.
And he was a descendant of Judah. I love that.
I
just want to mention this interesting point. 7:14 is rather extraordinary because in Isaiah 7:14, you have the virgin will conceive.
Oh, yes.
And in 2 Samuel 7:14, you have, I will be the father of the Messiah, God speaking there.
Yes.
And here it's evident that the Messiah is descended from Judah. I don't know if that's a coincidence. It's remarkable.
Whatever the case, it's lovely, isn't it?
It's
beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah. So Jesus was not he was not qualified according to the law to be a priest, but by using Melchizedek as his type, as his example, he shows God can choose one to be a priest if he so chooses, and God has. And so we have a change in the priesthood, flat out, and also it necessitates a change in the law.
This radical stuff.
It is.
You know, the Jews got troubled by this because they eventually said there must be two messiahs. One from David and one from Levi.
I see.
They couldn't put it together. We know how the story developed.
That's right.
It's one person, one Messiah.
Well, and this wonderful writer of Hebrews is just clarifying all of that in one fell swoop by this example drawn from not very well known passage out of Genesis.
He will rise out of the fog from nowhere.
Yeah,
where he's from. But he's king. I love that. He's king and a priest.
It's lovely.
And Abraham's paying tithes to him.
I love
it. So did Levi, so to speak. Isn't that rich?
Yeah. So and of course, again, this passage is not about tithing or paying tithes.
No.
It's all about what the tithe represented in that situation.
That's right.
It represented someone honoring someone else. And showing them to be the greater. So the greater priesthood was not Aaron's.
Mm-hmm.
The greater priesthood was Melchizedek's. Isn't that amazing?
And ultimately Jesus.
And now Jesus is a priest. He's not Melchizedek, but he's a priest like Melchizedek was. God chose him to do this.
A king priest.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is a strong evangelical, evangelistic plea to you Jews. Listen carefully.
Yes.
The Messiah has come.
Yeah.
That's what makes the difference between a Christian and a Jew. That we believe the Messiah has come.
Wow.
You better get the idea that he is the Messiah. He's already at the right hand of the Father. He's the one now.
Yeah.
Not Moses.
Yes.
He's the one that you are indebted to.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a stunning wisdom in all of this. I can put myself back there in the place of a Jewish person who was reading this writing or listening to this being spoken. And it would just be, I think, stunning to them to realize,
radical.
Wow. This isn't just a wild idea or something. God really did make this man, Melchizedek, a priest and a king priest at that.
That's amazing.
And so what this writer in Hebrews is saying is very plausible then.
Yes.
Jesus Christ could be made king and priest by God.
We're talking about the constitution of the universe here. Isn't that fascinating? This is the way the universe is actually constituted now.
Yes.
Radical. The Messiah has come and died and gone to the right hand of the Father. Are you going to believe that or not?
Yes.
This is the new story, isn't it? Very, very significant.
I love it. It's wonderful.
Yes.